Yep.
Yes, we are. And we got very excited about being back. Because of scheduling issues, we've been preempted this fall 5 times by Northwestern football.
And we're you're counting them.
We love Northwestern. We love Dave Annett. But we hate it when we're not on the air. And so we came back today all excited that we were going to have a regular show.
Through December.
Only to learn.
The Blackhawks are playing.
We're off early. We're here for an hour and a half, so let's use every minute as best we can. We need to start this morning by asking 5 guys to call. Just 5 guys. You can use a fake name if you want. 312-981-7200. Give us a call if you are a guy and are willing
and
to
dial a phone.
Answer a guy. Yeah, answer
punch
a
up
guy question. We'll do that after we mention that.
The trip?
Our trip, we're going to Provence in May.
May 10th.
And we mentioned it the last time we were on the air, which I think was in
September.
January, right? At one mention, and already 18 of the places on this trip have been sold, which is, we're so excited.
And we want you to come if you aren't one of the 18. We are going to be staying in 2 cities and taking day trips. We're going to be staying 4 nights in Aix-en-Provence, and we're going to be staying 3 nights in Avignon. We're going to see all kinds of stuff. We're going to see the Lavender. We're going to see Marseille. We're going to see Cassis. We're going to see
markets.
The markets.
That beautiful Gorge du Verdon.
Gorge du Verdon and Roussillon. And it's Arles, where Van Gogh was in the hospital. And it's been a well-planned. Kathy and I and Steve, we really curated this trip and want you to be part of it. It's May 10th to May 19th. All the information, perhaps you'd like to know how to find out the details on this trip, can be found at
On our Kathy and Judy. Oh, at SteveBertrandTravel.com. Right. And we're putting it up right now on our Kathy and Judy page to check it out. We're just excited. And we're excited at the response. And we're excited that in May, what a beautiful time of year. It's not too hot. There's not too many tourists like us hanging around. It should be a really, really lovely trip. And I discovered.
What?
Well, I told you, I called you that afternoon that my grandson is graduating from college during the trip. You know, certainly something I probably would have attended had we not planned this trip. But, you know, I've been involved enough with this sweet boy with Tris that he knows that he probably couldn't see me in Yankee Stadium and I probably couldn't see him in Yankee Stadium, which is where the NYU graduation takes place. So
he'll forgive you.
He has already.
Oh,
he has already forgiven me. Yes. I'm going to go see his senior show in February, and that's more important. And so anyway, check it out. We hope that a bunch of you are going to come with us and give Steve a call. His number's on there. Actually, I think that's like his cell phone that he keeps with him, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a businessman, 24/7.
Yeah, he's the travel guy. So check it out, and we hope that more of you will decide that you want to come with us and have a great time with us, and it should be fun. Now, we asked for 5 guys to call us, and you may or may not have heard our promo for this week. There is a procedure now. It's an actual, true, we're not making this up procedure, where men can go to the plastic surgeon and they can have Botox injected into their ballage.
It's called a scrotox.
Scrotox. And it supposedly fluffs them up, sort of maybe takes some wrinkles out, right? And apparently... Well, here, let's ask some real guys. Casey.
Yes.
Have you ever thought that that was anything? Have you ever said, boy, I wish I could get Botox in my scrotum?
As a matter of fact, No.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Casey. This is Ed.
Let's add a second question.
Okay.
And that is, do you, now, because I'm not a boy and I don't know, and there's a lot of equipment that they carry around.
Right.
Do you notice your scrotum a lot?
Right. Is it something you give much thought to?
Or take a look at every now and then?
Hey, Ed.
Yes.
Hi. How about scrotox as an option in your life?
I never thought of it for a second.
Okay. How often do you think of your scrotum?
Judy's question? Yeah, I sometimes think of it when I sit on them.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So, well, I'm not even going to ask how that happens.
Do your ears
just
hang
an adjustment.
Low? That song just came into my head.
Well,
but,
you know what it is.
Yeah.
Well, it was about boobs originally.
Do your boobs hang low?
Do they wobble to and fro?
Oh.
Can you tie them in a knot?
Can you tie them in a bow?
Okay. Ed, is that making you painful?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, thank you. This is John. Hi, John.
Morning, ladies.
Good morning. How's your scrotum?
Not in a million years.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And this is Brad. Hi, Brad. Same question for you.
No, I never thought about this procedure ever.
What about the guys? How, I mean, do you notice them? Do you
think about them?
I do a little checking in the shower just as a routine checkup and do a little grooming, but no, I've never once thought that they need a manicure.
Okay, because the checking thing is like what guys are supposed to do as we do with our breasts.
Yeah.
To check for masses or anything like that.
Yep.
Okay.
Otherwise, they just hang out.
Okay.
Grooming. Wait. Grooming. Is that shaving?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. How old are you?
38.
Okay. That figures.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Brad. And this is finally another Brad. Yes, final Brad.
No, thanks. No.
Even if you've never heard of it before
Even if
today.
It was free.
Right. Yeah. And if any of my kids are listening, I don't want it for Christmas.
No. No gift certificates for Christmas. 5 or 6 years ago, before this was even a thing, Saturday Night Live did a commercial about it.
Deep furrows and creases.
Sagging skin and looseness.
Women aren't the only ones who want smooth skin. Men do too. If wrinkles and sagging skin are holding you back, maybe it's time you tried Scrotox.
Scrotox? What's that?
Scrotox is nothing more than a botulism toxin that we shoot straight into your scrotum.
How does it work?
Scrotox plumps and tightens a man's unsightly skin down there. Aren't you ready for your prunes to become plums? Now that's what I call a smooth set of luggage.
Will I lose feeling down there?
Oh, definitely. It's poison. But your gents will be ready for their close-up.
Ask your doctor if Scrotox is right for your scrotum. Discomfort is usually minimal and brief, except that it's not.
Something's different about you, and I like it.
Thanks, Scrotox. Scrotox, you shoot it right into your balls.
That was before it was ever a real thing.
2010,
SNL did that commercial. And you can kind of tell because it's Fred Armisen and Bill Hader and Jason Sudeikis, who haven't been on for a while. And, of course, Alec Baldwin, who is the continuum, who's got a really solid job for the next four years.
Oh, my God. Couldn't it rig with all the fire?
Oh, yes, we're back. In our full glory.
The laugh is in reference to the Scrotox conversation that preceded.
Yes. So shall we, we've only got 10 minutes left in this half hour. Do you want to open up the phones? Should we do a quick speak your piece? I think so. It's 30 seconds. You know the rules, guys. 30 seconds. We're not going to fight with you. We're not going to accept name calling, but if you have something that you'd like to say and you think you can say it in 30 seconds, whether it's about Christmas or politics or the roads or anything else, give us a call. You know the number, 312-981-7200. But we generally can't do texts on Speak Your Piece. What?
I have one.
Okay.
I really hate it when your phone kind of dies and you think you're going to have to buy a new phone.
Ah.
I hate that one too.
I hope you got that straightened out, little Judy.
I did. I called AppleCare and a person stayed online with me for an hour and a half, but I can't tell you how my heart was beating. And I thought, what is the matter with you? This is a phone. This is a phone. And, you know, it was a rude awakening.
I'll bet.
That's what I mean. I mean, to have the phone dying in front of my eyes.
Yes.
That was bad.
But it's okay, right, little Judy?
It's okay.
Okay.
But also to realize how shallow I can be in a nanosecond.
All right. Well, that's the deal. 312-981-7200. We want to give you a chance to speak your piece. I'll give you mine. Isn't it time that we stopped hearing to leave a message? Do we really need instructions to leave a phone message on somebody's voicemail? Have you noticed that that's still running? And we all know how to leave a freaking message. You wait until the beep and then you leave a message and then you hang up. You don't need a 20 or 25 second instructional on how to leave a phone message.
Okay.
That
I can't
is
remember
all.
That happening to me recently.
You can't?
No. Uh-uh.
Oh, I think in most, I've had it happen so much in the last couple of weeks that's what got me all,
we
got
call
my undies in a
we
bundle.
We call different entities.
Yes. Hey, Mark, speak your piece.
Good morning. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I'd like to use this opportunity this time of year to unite everyone. I know we all have political differences. Remember, we live in the greatest country in the world. Let's give everybody a chance. Thank you very much.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Well put.
Elaine, speak your piece. Elaine?
Elaine? Okay. Yes. I would like Mike Madigan to remember what his job is. And if he's too busy to make meetings, maybe he needs to resign his office and let somebody else take over.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Elaine. You know the number, 312-981-7200, if you'd like to speak your piece. Trevor Wood. Hey, Trevor.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Just want to say Christmas rocks, politics suck.
That's hard to argue with that position. Thank you, Trevor.
People are very concise this morning.
Aren't they, though?
Yes.
Becky, let's hear you speak your piece.
I would like people to stop reminding everyone that this is not the shopping season, because I know what Christmas is all about. We celebrate Christ, but we also get to go out and buy presents and spread joy, and I love it. And I get tired of people, you know, saying, oh, you shouldn't be worrying about the marketing and the commercialism of Christmas.
Because Jesus is the reason for the season, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I know that Jesus is the reason for the season, but I love to get out there and shop, and I love to spread
There you go. All right,
and,
Becky.
And that's what I want to do at Christmas time.
That's Becky. The thing that's on fire in her purse is her credit card, right?
That's right.
Thanks, Becky. Hey, Lorraine, speak your piece.
Yes, I'm here. I would like to say that I am tired of hearing people on the radio, namely WGN, dissing Donald Trump. Let's give him a break. Let's give him a chance, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Lorraine.
You're welcome.
All right. This is Jordan. Speak your piece. Jordan?
Jordan? Yes.
Hey.
Traffic is being congested even more by people going east on the expressway. I'm making a U-turn at Wells Street to come back down, going west on the Eisenhower. So if you could give them a warning, shout out, or whatever, that's kind of dangerous as well.
All right. I think you just did, Jordan. Thanks for the call.
All right.
312-981-7200. Speak your piece, Tom.
Hi, ladies. Okay,
Hi,
I am tired. I am tired when I go shopping, especially this time of year since I'm doing so much shopping, of all these young store clerks asking me if I want my receipt back after I buy something. I go to McDonald's, Starbucks, grocery store, Walmart. They all say, do you want your receipt, sir? Of course I want my receipt. I just spent a lot of money there.
What do you do with them, Tom?
Yeah, because I always say no.
Receipts? I usually say no.
You write a check or something, or you just want it for your record.
Okay.
I mean, it's just odd to
me.
It's like,
They do ask a lot. They do ask a lot. All right, Tom, thanks.
I think it's an environmental thing.
Well, they still print it out. They usually have it in their hand when they ask you. Do you want your receipt?
Oh, yeah, I guess they do.
Shirley, speak your piece.
Yes, I feel right now the way the world is that we should be only teaching love. And when we're angry or anything, just tell the person, bless your heart. And I feel that would go a far, long way.
Okay, when somebody gets mad, you just say, well, bless your heart.
Bless your heart, and you feel so much better than having anger come out of you.
That's very sweet, Shirley. Thank you.
Teach love.
All right. This is Dan. Speak your piece.
Yes, I'd like to say bless Mr. Madigan's heart for actually fighting the turnaround agenda, which would devastate working families, especially union workers that go to 6,000 to 8,000 hours of training and build all the infrastructure. We have record economic boom and cranes. And basically his agenda, the reason the meeting is he says, wipe this out, wipe this out, wipe this out. I'm a rich guy. I don't get my way. I'm taking my ball and going home. So thank you for protecting us. And public relations is just one way, his way or the highway.
Dan, have you ever considered having Botox injected into your scrotum?
Oh, Lord, no. Now you're losing my blessings. But,
okay.
I try to be happy. It is the greatest country in the earth. But we do have to stand up for the people that have made it. And that certainly isn't what
gotcha.
Mr.
Which is hard to do after scrotox.
That's right. And finally, we'll wrap it up with Kathy. Hi, Kathy. Speak your piece.
Hi. When you're walking down the street, or walking in the mall or in a store, and you're walking past someone and there's nobody else around, look them in the eye and say hi.
Okay.
It'll go a long way toward making everybody just feel good about each other.
Just be
Thanks
nice
for letting me
and
say,
say
that.
Hi. Okay. All right. Thank you, Kathy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
A lot of fervor for kindness.
Yes.
Anger can make you old.
What does it say? Huh? Anger.
Oh, anger. Oh, okay.
I want to talk about anger. I am a person who is predisposed to being very reactive and very angry.
Who are you?
Well, you haven't made me mad in 25 years, I guess.
I don't think of you as... I don't think I've ever even seen you express anger, and I've seen you with other people. That's so interesting to me. I mean, I don't mean to ruin the premise of where you're going with this, but you don't seem like an angry person at all. Reactive, maybe. I think we're both reactive. We both hear something go, hup, 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 you know, and then find out what the facts are. And
scrotox.
Calm
okay,
down,
I'm going to find out about
calm
that.
Down, right. But what about anger? There's a lot of it.
There is a lot of it. That's why they have anger management classes. But both Kath and I read an article last week in the paper about a new business that's developed, and they're called anger rooms. The first one was developed, I think, down in Texas. And basically, they are rooms that are filled with printers or alarm clocks, glass cups, vases.
Printers, China.
And for $25, you can go in for 5 minutes of just throwing this stuff against walls.
Do they give you a
hammer against it?
Or can you bring a hammer?
2x4, hammer, whatever you need. And you're supposed to be able to vent your anger like that and come out with less stress. That's the assumption. So my question is, have you... or anybody you've lived with, thrown things at you, crushed things, and if it was you, did it make you feel better?
That's interesting. I was just thinking about that this morning, and I can't tell you why it popped in my mind that when I was married, Jill, one time my husband got so angry that he put his fist through a drywall. And
really?
Yeah. And that was scary. That I mean, I was never hit. I was never struck. But to see somebody be so angry that they...
Was he angry at you?
I can't recall.
Uh-huh.
I can't recall. But I don't know if expression of anger like that is helpful or if it just feeds it. if you start doing that, if you start throwing things and punching things, then how do you turn that off? Because I've heard about these rooms, as you have, and trying to decide if it would negate or tamp down anger by expressing it that way, or if it would just make things worse. If you would leave that room after 5 minutes and be pissed off that you only got 5 minutes to do that.
Well, if you want to spend more money, you can stay longer.
Okay, of course. Well, 312-981-7200 is our number.
And this is Brandy. You are a school psychologist?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Okay, and what is your take on this?
Well, and admittedly, this study, and I'm driving, so I don't have the reference for it. It was only done on children. Mm-hmm. Maybe different for adults, but for children, allowing them to go and beat things up and break things when they're angry,
mm-hmm,
left them more heightened following it and more likely to react physically the next time they got upset.
Yeah, see, that's my thought about it. That I don't think I've ever been angry enough to want to do something physical like that.
Yeah, I have never taken anything out on a plate.
Yeah,
you know,
nor have I. Brandy, thanks for that information.
And drive safely.
Oh, I will. I'm almost where I'm going.
Okay.
This is Rhonda. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi. I am going to tell you that I am in my mid-50s. I have never lived with anybody, nor have any of my friends or my parents' friends. I don't know anybody that's ever been that angry to put their fist through a wall or anything else. However, I am in schools, and I see many children who are, and I'm talking elementary, not high school or anything else, who are so angry that they will just walk out of class and do really bad things.
Destructive things?
This is in good suburbs. This is not in the inner city or anything else. These are in the upper class suburbs. And it's getting to the point where we are now being trained in how to protect ourselves. And
anger has what in the northern suburbs?
Not just in the northern suburbs, but in the, you know, where the homes are a million plus.
That's what I mean. Anger about what? What's the anger based on?
This is my guess.
Uh-huh.
More than a guess, that we have two parents who are working to make sure that they can afford to live there, and they are working so long, and they get home, and the child is picked up by a nanny and is spending all the time on the computer or iPad or whatever they want. Meanwhile, the nanny is driving a Tesla.
Not too broad a stroke or anything, but okay, we're right. Going with you. We're
so you think those anger issues are about children feeling uncared for?
Are gone so long that they possibly have maybe 1 hour with the child. There's no fun time. There's no anything else. There's nothing.
Okay. All right. Well, that's. I'm sure there are those who will agree.
Has there ever been in any of the schools you've been inside a kid trying to hit a teacher or throwing a notebook at a teacher?
Absolutely, which is why we are now being trained.
Wow.
How to de-escalate.
How to not only de-escalate, but if we are hit, how to either take down that child or whatever. And that I've never seen this before. Never.
You mean physically take down a child, physically disarm a ninth grader?
Not even a ninth grader, a third grader.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
I guess
yes.
You have to be very physically fit. Well, you do, to be a teacher these days.
Yeah.
And not just physically fit, but you have to be aware of so many different emotional, you know, even how am I teaching and, you know, why is this child getting so angry or, you know, and then walking out of the class, and then that distracts me from continuing to educate the rest of the class because we have to figure out where that child is gone.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right. Thank you,
Good
Rhonda.
Good luck, Rhonda.
Same.
Okay.
And this is Joy. Hey, Joy.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. You can relate to this.
I can. This goes back to my college days. It's maybe more frustration management than anger management. I had a professor that would, if he saw people like really frustrated or people were questioning him, like, I don't get this, I don't get this, he would hand us a bag full of disposable glass test tubes and make us go out in the hallway and stomp on the bag till they were all broken and then come back into class with a clear head.
At what level was this?
This was college.
Wow.
And did you ever do that? And did your head get clear?
I had to do it one time, and I think it did help. There were a couple class members that did it often. I'm wondering if they feigned frustration just so they could walk out of class.
Yeah.
I think it did help because it just sort of, it vented your emotions one place and then it was gone.
Interesting. It's sort of like a Jewish wedding times 10, right?
It was. And okay. I think the professor may have been Jewish.
Okay.
There you go.
Joy, thanks for the call. And we'll be back to more of your calls and texts at 312-981-7200.
We're talking about anger and the fact that there are anger rooms now where you can actually go in and for $25 for 5 minutes, you can just beat the crap out of a bunch of things in there. Glasses, printers, anything you want to smash up. And this is Rob.
Hi, Rob.
How you doing, ladies?
Okay. Right. Tell us about what happened in your life.
Okay. So when I was a kid, my father, if he ever got angry, he would take me and we'd go to a local junkyard and we'd, as he said, learn about cars. We'd actually just break stuff on cars.
Oh, my God.
Would you take baseball bats and stuff like that?
No, ball peen hammers. You know, we carry a toolbox, so it actually looked like we knew what we were doing.
Wait, if he got mad, he took you. Why did you go along if he got mad?
Because I could make him laugh while doing it.
Oh, well, he was smart then. Right.
And I remember one time we did it we were in the junkyard for almost 2 hours, and then afterwards we went and picked up the family. And to show you how long ago this was, we picked up the family and saw the original RoboCop in the movie theater.
So you just beat on all these cars. Isn't that against the law? Even in a junkyard?
Yeah, it's in the junkyard. Most of these cars are getting smashed up anyway.
Uh-huh. And do you think it helped you manage anger? Do you think it just, what's your relationship now to anger?
Well, I never really thought I had an anger management problem. And then when I was in the service, they actually asked me to take an anger management class, and they said, you know, what I learned in anger management was anger is completely normal and natural. It's how you express it that is the danger part.
Right.
Oh, good point. Yeah. So do you think that taking that class was helpful to you?
Yes and no. I took the class because I was told to.
Okay.
I don't break things, and I'm not that kind of person. I just always found that if you can find a reason to laugh at yourself while doing something, there's no real reason to be angry about anything. There's much bigger problems in this world than anything going on that is going to upset you.
Well, that's true, but
there are huge things. I mean,
you live in your world.
I mean,
and if something really ticks you off,
or sometimes really unfair things happen to people. And
well, a prime example when me and my wife first got together, our first son passed away from SIDS when he was 16 days old.
Oh, my geez. God. Yeah.
It's so sorry.
I was extremely angry. I was in the hospital, and the detectives come, and they have to talk to you, of course. And
sure.
A child passed away from SIDS. And they said, we need to separate you. And I said, look, I understand you have a job to do. But right now, I need to spend time with my wife and my son. I will answer any of your questions, but you are not separating me from my wife and my son right now. And the detectives actually understood that. I think that...
You think if you had blown up, it would have been different?
If I had blown up, it would have made a bad situation a thousand times.
Well, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Rob, thank you.
Thanks for the call. And speaking of cars, which Rob used to illustrate his point, one of our texters says, if you have never been mad enough to throw, hit, or break something... you have never worked on cars. And you're correct. I have never worked on cars. So apparently that's a frustration that working on cars, you know, engines and motors and axles and stuff like that. Apparently that can be frustrating.
Well, then what do? You go smash your car?
I don't know.
Your car engine?
This is
Tim. Hey.
Hey, Tim.
Oh, good morning, girls.
Good morning.
I love you guys.
Thank
love
you.
You guys.
Thanks.
I'm your biggest Indiana fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
All right. Have you ever considered Scrotox?
How I learned to control my anger.
Okay.
Okay.
Early on in my first marriage, on the first occasion, I was riding in the car with my wife, and she was just nagging, picking. And I kept telling her, not now. And she wouldn't stop, and I swung my right arm and hit the seat between us. So much dust and dirt flew out of that old car seat that we could hardly breathe. So I put the car in park, and I got out, and we decided to walk, and it was in the middle of winter. So I showed her. The next occasion, I was working nights, and I need to sleep through the day. And she kept coming into the bedroom and nagging and yelling at me about something. I said, I've got to get my sleep. Just leave me go. I got to get some sleep. And she wouldn't stop, and I jumped up out of the bed, which had to be an interesting scene because I slept naked, and I turned around to punch the wall. On the other side of the wall was the chimney.
Oh. Ouch.
Which did not care what I did.
Are you still married to her?
No, it's first wife.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I figured I better get rid of her or I'm going to kill her, one or the other.
Well, I mean, that's also blaming your anger management issues on somebody else. I mean,
right? No question. Well, that's where I learned to control my anger.
Right.
Because that was so stupid.
Okay.
What was your feeling as you fixed that hole in the wall? Did you feel like remorseful?
No, just felt pain. That's all I thought.
Okay.
About was pain. The shock of it went all the way up my arm, into my shoulder. But I realized then that it had no effect on her, and the only one that lost was me.
Okay.
And from that day on, and that was 50 years ago, I don't get angry. I don't show anger. I just walk away cool, or like the other gentleman said, find something funny about it. It makes it a lot easier to deal with, but it was just, I had to learn it the hard way.
Yeah, you sure did. Tim, thanks for the call.
This is Lori.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, hi. Thanks.
You can relate to anger?
Sure, sure. And I think, you know, very often anger is very close to frustration.
Right.
But I found, you know, often when you're frustrated, you know, getting out of the situation, going, taking a walk, doing something, you know, a physical release is a help for that. I recall when I was in school, and this was quite a few years ago, but there were classrooms on the 10th and the 11th floor. And when you would be frustrated with a project or something you were working on, you know, walking down to the first floor and walking back up the stairs usually was enough to do it.
So your physical release was never anything destructive. It was always constructive.
Okay, once or twice it was a little destructive.
What'd you do?
I was working once, and my boss was out of town and called very late in the day with a bunch of requests that were just very unreasonable. And I did, just out of anger, I just turned around and I just kicked the wall. And that's when I realized that the walls were made out of flimsy drywall, and it left quite the hole in it. I went, whoa, that didn't take a whole lot to do that. So, yeah. But again, it was a good physical release. You know, I felt much better after doing that.
Okay.
But, yeah. Had to have the wall fixed before it came back, but that worked out okay, too.
Yeah,
so.
There you go.
And he knew nothing.
Thanks, Lori.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Ro Khan. I'm going to be at Apple Chevrolet in Tinley Park on Saturday, December 10th from noon till 3. Now, come on out. Bring a new unwrapped toy for the U.S. Marine Corps Reserve Toys for Tots Drive. Details at WGNRadio.com/events.
John, it's Bill. What are you doing today? You want to come over and watch the game?
I'd love to, but can't. After that storm last night, I don't want to be driving on icy roads.
That was a doozy. Since moving to Friendship Village, there's no more watching the weather reports. Just relaxing.
I'm getting cabin fever.
I was in the same boat. That's why this year, I decided to try out the Weather the Winter program at Friendship Village. There's no more winter blues. Just lots of friendly neighbors.
Sounds great, buddy.
It is. Stay here for 90 days, you enjoy life with the other residents. And you don't have to worry about the hassles of winter. No more cold, no more extra work, just enjoying your day.
OK, Okay, where do I start?
Just visit weatherthewinter.com.
Weatherthewinter.com. Thanks, Bill. I'll be seeing you for the next game at Herman's Bar and Grill at Friendship Village.
Friendship Village is an equal housing opportunity provider.
Judd Surratt and Troy Murray give you all the Blackhawks storylines you need to know. Check it out in tonight's Blackhawks pregame show. Brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks. Find your local Wintrust Community Bank at wintrust.com/find us.
Are you having constant hip or knee pain? Does it keep you from doing all the things you want to do? Well, it's time for you to feel new again. Visit the Hip and Knee Center, where they've performed thousands of successful outpatient, minimally invasive joint replacements. What sets them apart is experience. Advanced techniques in hip and knee replacement are performed by experts who focus, refine, and perfect the patient experience. No general anesthesia, no catheters, no blood transfusions, and no restrictions. Recovery is measured in days to weeks, not months. Renowned joint replacement surgeon Dr. Sean W. Palmer, founder of the Hip and Knee Center, is a national instructor for surgeon training and among the most experienced anterior approach, as we discovered from the front, hip replacement surgeons in the nation. Patients arrive from across the country, even the world, for his expertise, for results and commitment to service. It's time for you to feel new and better again. Call 1-866-FEEL-NEW. That's 1-866-FEEL-NEW. Or learn more about the Hip and Knee Center at thehipandkneecenter.com.
And if you want to learn more about our trip to Provence in May, we want to give you a phone number for SteveBertrandTravel.com. It's 847-606-6065.
And there's more information on our Facebook page as well, with the itinerary, the cost, the dates, everything else. Check that out. And then if you're interested, absolutely give Steve a call. Scary music.
Yeah.
I in my role as movie whore, I did see Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them last week. And from the promos, it's Eddie Redmayne. It looks like he's got these little creatures in his suitcase. But the movie becomes really, really dark and scary. And I was watching it at the theater in Yorktown, and there was a mother sitting next to me. We were in those, you know, you have your own suite, your own suite in the theater. And she was next to me and her two children, who looked like they were 10 and maybe 7, were in the next two seats. And her kid, that looks to be about 7, a little boy, spent most of the movie on her lap, you know, scrunched next to her, you know, with his face away from the screen.
What was the movie rated?
That's a good question. I should have checked that out. The way it was promoted, it certainly seems like, oh, let's take the kids to see this. Then I posted that on my Facebook page and got responses from two former WGN producers who are my friends, from Laura Hirsch and from...
Ann Johnsos?
No. Actually, I think Ann may have responded too.
Ann Tracy?
From Tracy, right. And Ann said her kids saw it and they were scared, but they loved being scared.
Mm-hmm.
And it's PG-13. So if you take a kid under 13, you've got to be with a, they've got to be with a parent. I just wonder, Tracy said, maybe I won't send my kid because my kid winds up in bed with me when he's scared, and maybe I won't do it. I want to talk about scary movies and whether or not that is something that has changed over time. I was an adult when I saw The Exorcist, and I dreamed about it for weeks. I was terrified by that movie, and I was a grown-up. But are kids less inclined to be scared now by stuff like that, by movies? I remember as a child being scared of an atom bomb, of an atomic bomb.
Weren't you scared of the Green Witch and the Wizard of Oz?
That one, I was not one of those. No.
Really?
No. So I just want to talk about what are kids scared of? And are they in so many video games? Is that in their head so much that they're not scared of explosions and bombs and darkness and everything else? I don't know. 312-981-7200.
I'm thinking one thing is they may see scary stuff on their parents' iPads and stuff, but the world is all around. They're in their living room or they're in their bedroom. Mm-hmm. They're not in a dark theater.
Right.
So maybe their tolerance, their ability to separate that, to see, you know, scary things as entertainment only.
That's interesting, because when Tris was three, I thought, what a perfect time. Tris knows who Peter Pan is. He's seen the little animated movie, and there was a stage show of Peter Pan, and I took him to see it, and he was terrified.
With Captain Hook.
Yeah, and the alligator, because they were real. They weren't cartoon characters. So that talks about separating real from cartoons. Mm-hmm. And I remember we had to leave. I thought, well, this isn't fair to this little kid. I thought this would be fun for him, and he's terrified by it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. Are your kids scared at scary movies anymore? Because maybe they're not. I mean, Laura's kids weren't. And I think Laura's kids are probably 7, 9, and 12 or something like that. And obviously there's an age thing where kids can go, this is just a movie. I'm not scared. But when you're little, that's different. You can't always pin that down.
Well, and kids as well as adults, there are a certain group of people, and I don't understand how this works, but like being scared. Like being on a thriller roller coaster.
Well, that's what,
that get pleasure out of that.
Yeah, that's what Nurse Laura said. She said, my kids said it was really scary, but they loved it. So, hey, Inez, what's your take on this?
Well, I was just saying, I go to the movies every week. I'm 59 years old. My girlfriend and I go every week to see everything that's scary. And so I think we've become desensitized, and because we really haven't found anything that has scared us. I mean,
but you're adults, and you're adults, and you can say this is a movie. You mean like the movies where there's the paranormal stuff, or where there's ghosts in people's bedrooms and stuff like that?
Correct. And the reason I say that, and when you were talking about the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the guy that comes on WGN that does the critics for the movies,
Nick DiGilio, Dean Richards.
Yes.
Okay.
He even said that was one of the darkest movies from the Harry Potter series. It was good, but it was very dark.
You mean the one the one with Eddie Redmayne?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. It was. It was really scary and dark, and these creatures all wrapped up in black smoke, and so you think we're desensitized?
I think that's, yes, I do. And even when my kids were growing up, one of the biggest things that they reacted to was the Michael Jackson Thriller video.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they totally freaked out. And I watched it with them, and I'm like, you guys, this isn't real. So, it comes back to the parents saying, you know, it's not real, and trying and be there with them and let them react, but assure them that, you know, it isn't real. It also comes back to not taking kids to movies that are not appropriate.
Right. Inez, what was the last scary movie you and your girlfriend saw?
Okay, let me think.
Because you have a high tolerance for it.
We do. In fact, we sit there and we laugh at everybody else.
The ones where other people are screaming, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So necessarily the last one that scared you, but the last scary movie you purposely went to see.
Let me think. Don't Breathe.
That kind of thing. Right, where people are jumping out of walls and, right.
Well, that had a weird twist to it, but.
Okay.
You just can't be scary enough for Inez.
Right.
One to really do it.
All right. Well, good luck with that, Inez.
If
if I find it, I'll tell you guys.
All okay. right. Thank you. We'll be back with more of your calls about scary movies after this. We're talking about scary movies and at what age kids are sort of able to go, oh, that's a movie, I'm not scared, because Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them was really scary for the little kid who was sitting close to me. This is Kelly. Hey, Kelly.
Hi.
Hi. Where are you on this?
Well, I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, mm-hmm. and I found that they aren't really scared of too much. They watch a lot of scary movies. They kind of elevate it from the Goosebumps shows.
The R.L. Stine stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. That wasn't really too scary for them. And now I find that if I go back and check, like, the Netflix account, I'm seeing movies that I know I haven't watched because I'm still a big baby and I'm really scared of a lot of things.
Okay, but wait a minute. They're watching these movies without your knowledge?
Yes. I'll look back and I'm like, well, who watched Bride of Chucky or who watched, you know, these types of movies? And I ask them and they'll say, we watched it, but I don't allow them to watch it with me. So they'll sneak at night. Like if I go to sleep or something, they're up in the middle of the night watching.
Wow. And you never wind up having them in your bedroom. Mom, I'm scared. Mom, I'm scared. Chucky's
no.
under my bed.
No, the most that I get is that they don't want the light off in their bedroom.
Okay. Well, that would be one little clue.
Do they have a TV in their bedroom?
They do. They okay. do. They normally yeah. don't watch it. They normally watch the big, in the family room, they watch the big TV.
Right.
Uh-huh. But if they watch something that's too scary, though, they'll end up together, cuddled up together under the cover. So then,
maybe it's time to change the Netflix password, Kelly.
Yeah. yeah
Just a crazy thought.
I think you're right.
Glad you were listening. Thanks.
Thanks.
Okay. This is Denise. Hey, Denise, what's your take on this?
Well, there's such a huge difference. I'm 64, and when my older sister took me to see Psycho when it first came out, so I don't know when it came out, but I was, you know, pretty young, but she obviously didn't know what it was, and yeah, I was scared, but, you know, it didn't, and then, you know, 30 years ago, roughly, when I took some of my nieces or kids to the shows, like, I mean, they would be terrified of a Disney, like, I can't even remember the name of one, but it was Tale of Something and the Dinosaur, and the mother dies of this baby dinosaur is left, you know, it's animated.
Oh, well, it's a Disney movie, so the mother always dies.
Yeah, right. And my niece, you know, just cried through the whole thing. We had to leave, you know, and she was maybe four. I just think there's more, it wasn't exactly suck it up for us. We just, you know, we just went on and didn't, you know, we didn't have any discussion about Psycho, like with my parents.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, I was scared of the transom that led to the enclosed back porch in my bedroom. And
those
kind of things.
Yeah, I was a security kid too, exactly. So you think it's a generational thing?
Yeah, I really
do.
And,
okay.
And now they're seeing all these things that I would never watch.
Right.
At 64.
So they're they're a little bit desensitized.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay. Denise, thanks for calling.
Right. And I like you guys a lot.
Oh, thank you very much. And this is Robin.
This
Hi,
is
Robin.
Funny.
Hello.
Tell us about your grandchildren.
I have twin granddaughters, 7-year-old twin granddaughters. And they are pretty sensitive to things in general Disney movies, like they'll hide under the covers when the sharks come and Finding mm-hmm. Nemo. However, we were watching White Christmas last weekend with them, and they both were afraid of the scene where Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye dressed up as women to sing Sisters.
They're scared of it.
That's
fun.
Did you ask them what scared them exactly? About that?
Yeah, my husband and I looked and said, what? We don't understand. And they said, no, we just can't watch. And they kind of closed their eyes. I don't know.
Well, they weren't very pretty. That's very funny. Oh, man. Thank you, Robin.
Love both of you.
Thanks
Take
very
care,
much.
Robin.
And this is Susie, who's been waiting a while. Susie, what's your perception of this?
I love your show.
Thank you.
My perception is what was just commented on. I think
the visual, in a way, doesn't scare them. They might not like what they see, but it's sort of the unknown. And I'm going back to when my now 7-year-old granddaughter was watching Curious George when maybe she was 3 or 4, which what's scary about Curious George?
Right.
But there was, they were cleaning out the basement in his building, and George went down with the concierge dog to look at boxes, and one of the boxes made a noise, like, rawr, rawr, and my granddaughter started shaking. So it was like, to me, the unknown. Once she knew what was in there, she wasn't afraid, and then she wanted to see it again. So I think the visual, I think it's when they see something, they don't like it. But yes, the concept, and it goes back to us adults. We're desensitized seeing things, like when we saw, it's more the unknown of what we don't know. It's the same thing. Like
right. What's gonna pop out? What's gonna scare me? Exactly.
I'm scared of both. Like, yeah. The known and the unknown.
Good. Yeah.
George scared us because we didn't see the shark.
Yeah.
And then you weren't as scared. You just knew what are they going to do. And the same even with the news. The news is terrifying. It's more than movies.
It's the unknown. It's more the unknown than anything else.
Right. When Lee Harvey Oswald was shot, I was shocked. But then I was more scared of what's next. What's going to happen next?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll have to think of that in connection with that movie I saw and how scared that little kid was, because maybe it was about what's going to happen next.